radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Wednesday. It's February 21st, and you still are going to need that rain gear because it's still going to be rainy. It'll be warm again, though, at least for late February. So just keep that in mind as you head out the door. You might want to have the umbrella and some, as we say on the East Coast, galoshes or your rain boots. And, of course, maybe a rain jacket as well. The phone number, 877-573-7825. We're going to be talking about some really cool events that are going on in our area, starting with at 8:15, Patrice Abona. She's the Executive Director of the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center. And she's joining me to talk about a beautiful event for young people in the Chaldean community. Of course, all are welcome. And it's a vigil, a Eucharistic adoration vigil, along with speakers and great music coming up this weekend. Patrice will talk about that. So excited to help them promote it. And then Mary Lockwood, my friend, of course, from Right to Life of Michigan and Silent No More, has been getting very involved in the movement against trafficking, which is directly tied, of course, we know, to the pro-life movement. Mary mentioned previously in this program that they're having a fashion show that's coming up on March 5th, which is really only right around the corner, about 2 weeks away, for the benefit of helping human trafficking victims. Now, all the goods showcased and sold at the event will be made by survivors, all the profits going back to them through an organization known as War International. And they're also going to have a survivor of sex trafficking tell their story. It's all being hosted at Our Lady of Good Counsel through the Pearls of Great Price Coalition and being promoted through our Life Issues Ministry at Our Lady of Good Counsel. So this is a really neat event, important event, but also, I think, a little bit different. But it's so crucial because think about it. We see all of these stories about sexual harassment, about the objectification of the human person, especially the objectification of women, which happens a great deal in fashion, the way women are portrayed, the way they are pressured to dress. And this whole issue of sex trafficking is tied to the objectification of women. And so how important is it to use fashion to make a positive statement versus a negative statement? So Mary, I'm sure, will have a lot to say about that. And interestingly enough, I was slipping through the channels last night. I was trying to catch the ice skating, although it sounds so late, that's the only problem. But I stayed up till about, I think, about 10:30 watching the figure skating last night again because it's my favorite winter sport. And for some reason, during the commercials, I landed on America's Next Top Model. And they were interviewing all these young women. And Tyra Banks, who's a host of the show, is trying to pressure these girls and say that they need to be able to have the guts to pose nude. What does that have to do with fashion if there's no clothes? And a couple of these women, including one who's a mom, was really protesting and pretty much saying that she was going to be eliminated because she just didn't feel right about doing that. And yet, at the same time, there's all these protests and these talks and discussions, as we've been saying, about the sexual harassment, I am not an object, respect me, it's not just about my body. And then you turn around and you make it all about your body. Again, this effort of talking out of both sides of their mouth. You can't have it both ways. And until we get that, none of this is going to change. That's why what Mary's doing is so, so important. And we'll talk about that with her. And feel free to call in. John Wood is going to be joining us. He is an Ohio brother in the Lord, a Catholic doctor. And he's got a new book out from our friends at Ignatius Press. He also spoke, I believe, was it 2 years ago, with his wife at World Marriage Day. The Light Entrusted to You, Keeping the Flame of Faith Alive. And the book is endorsed by John Leonetti from Iowa Catholic Radio, Curtis Martin from Focus and EW10, our own Peter Herbeck, and even the wonderful Bishop Daniel Thomas of Toledo. So it's a great book. John will be joining me at 9:15. Then, of course, Joan joining us live from the Vatican this morning on all things Rome. However, the Holy Father is on retreat, so he doesn't have an audience today. He's on his Lenten retreat, but there's some cool stories coming out of Rome on what's happening with the Vatican in terms of next time you go or your first time you go to Rome, it will be lit much better. And so you will be able to see this in a different way, all the great art and the beauty of St. Peter's, because there's a special effort from a German company that is basically putting in some new lighting in the Vatican. And then, of course, this weekend the Colosseum is going to be lit up in red in honor of persecuted Christians who have been suffering for the faith, including those who have lost their lives. So lots of very intriguing, important, and interesting stories to discuss this morning, and we hope that you can join in the conversation. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Don't forget the Lansing Diocesan Men's Conference is coming up this weekend. And you can get all those details at the Lansing Diocese homepage. There's also a conference coming up in Saginaw for men and one in Grand Rapids. So wherever you're at in Michigan, whether it be Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw. And, of course, we have all kinds of cool things here in southeastern Michigan as well. There is something to do during Lent to help you get closer to the Lord. So don't forget that. Right now, though, we do have to check the news. There's a lot of news going on, as you can imagine, with all the fallout from the shooting and discussions taking place all over the country. Let's see what's happening in and around our world on a Wednesday morning, February 21st, 2018. President Trump hosting parents, teachers, and students at the White House today to talk about how to keep schools safe.
Members of the Parkland community will be attending this listening session, as will individuals who were impacted by past school shootings, including the Columbine and Sandy Hook tragedies.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders saying local officials and law enforcement agents will visit the White House on Thursday to further that conversation. She offered her thoughts and prayers to the victims of last week's shooting in Parkland. During a White House briefing yesterday, Sanders saying the president supports improving background checks before gun purchases and has not closed the door on other measures. A junior ROTC student who was killed in the Florida high school shooting, as Mark Mayfield explains, is being recognized by West Point.
The prestigious military academy says it has posthumously accepted 15-year-old Peter Wang. Wang's funeral was held Tuesday. The junior cadet was wearing his uniform when he was killed in the mass shooting that took 17 lives at a Florida high school last week. Wang was fatally shot while he was holding the door for other students so they could escape the gunfire. Wang is also being honored with the Medal of Heroism from the U.S. Army for selfless and heroic actions that led to the survival of dozens.
Florida high school students, meanwhile, are campaigning for tougher gun laws, and they'll be in Tallahassee, Florida today. Teens who survived the shooting last week that killed 17 people in Parkland will lead a new time rally in Florida's capital. Correspondent Maya Rodriguez is in Tallahassee.
They want to talk to state legislators, they say, about mental health, gun control, and school safety.
Police are closing nearly a dozen downtown streets and intersections ahead of the rally. More than 100 students bussed up from South Florida for the rally to support gun safety reform. Police say they expect more than 700 students from across the state. Today's gathering comes a day after state lawmakers voted down a bill that would have banned assault rifles like the AR-15 used by the shooter at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School last Wednesday. Some of Florida's top cops, meanwhile, are trying to come up with a plan to deal with gun violence in their schools. They met yesterday, also in the state's capital, where Pinellas County Sheriff Rob Guillotieri said the state's mental health law, known as the Baker Act, does not help at all because it does not allow law enforcement to seize firearms. And another county sheriff, Grady Judd, said 911 doesn't do that great a job either because officers can't beat an active shooter to the front door. Judd said the only defense is to train and armed qualified school staff members, a program that he's already started, he says, in his neighborhood. President Trump is honoring several cops, paramedics, and firefighters with medals of valor. In a White House ceremony yesterday, the president said they all went above and beyond the call of duty. There are four recipients from the San Bernardino County Sheriff and Police Department after the deadly terrorist attack there in late 2015. A San Bernardino County District Attorney investigator was also honored. And Chicago's police superintendent Eddie Johnson expressing gratitude for the support his department has received since the killing of Commander Paul Bauer. Speaking yesterday, Johnson thanking a number of people and businesses who've given support.
Everything that people do really has been therapy for us. You know, this is difficult, you know, and it's going to be difficult. You know, it's going to take some time for us to get back to a sense of normalcy.
Bauer was shot and killed last week outside the Thompson Center in the Loop. His widow wrote a letter thanking the city of Chicago and the rest of the country for restoring her faith in humanity. Republicans, as Tom Roberts reports, now vow to challenge a new redistricting map in the state of Pennsylvania.
Republicans argue that the new map favors Democrats. The stakes are huge with control of the U.S. House in play during upcoming midterm elections. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court issued the new map after state Republicans and Democrats could not agree on a compromise plan to redraw congressional district boundaries. The state court threw out the previous district map, saying it favored Republicans.
Young Romanian men and women asking Pope Francis difficult questions about suffering. They asked him, why is my life so hard? Why did my mother abandon me? And why do people judge me? As Philippa Hitchens reports, the Vatican Press Office yesterday releasing the text of the encounter that was organized back in January by the charity Foundation for People's Development.
Responding to another question about why life is so unfair, the Pope said that sometimes there are no answers to questions about why children suffer. The only answers can come from God, he continued, who wants to heal our pain. Just as Jesus told his disciples that neither the blind man nor his parents were responsible for his affliction, so God answers us by meeting us in our sickness and suffering, embracing us and healing our pain. Asked what was the point of going to church when we continue to argue and behave badly, the Pope said we can learn to stand before God and confess our sins, asking him to transform our lives. Finally, Pope Francis responded to a young woman who had put her baby into foster care, yet found herself judged for being a bad mother. He told her that sometimes fostering can be the best solution, and he assured her that he understood her feelings of loneliness and confusion. Seek out the company of other Christians, he suggested, as we can all find support and healing by learning to trust and share our problems with others. I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Mayor Catherine Pugh is reacting to a USA Today report naming her city of Baltimore the most dangerous in the nation. The report finding Baltimore had the highest per capita murder rate among the country's 50 largest cities last year. The mayor is saying city crime has been trending lower since November in 2018 as a new year.
Homicides in this city down by 32%. I'm sure that's more than almost any place in the country. So tell that story. Non-fatal shootings down 48%. Tell that story. And violence is down in every single category in this city, and we know that we're headed in the right direction.
Police say there have been 32 homicides so far this year, which is 15 fewer than this time last year. The NBA's Dallas Mavericks say they're investigating sexual misconduct claims detailed in a Sports Illustrated story just published. The magazine outlining a workplace culture one former employee described as a real-life animal house. Mavs owner Mark Cuban saying he's firing the team's longtime human relations VP. And finally, in our news segment, when it comes to working in Hollywood, 94% of women, 94% say they've experienced sexual harassment in some form or another. That's according to a new USA Today survey of women in the entertainment industry. The harassment ranging from unwanted sexual comments to being coerced into sex. In fact, a fifth of women surveyed said they've been forced into doing something sexual, and only around 28% said reporting the behavior actually made things better. Wow. It's almost 14 minutes past 8. It is a Wednesday morning. Hope you're doing well. You're listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio Networks. Let's take a look at the forecast, because I did not have a chance to do that off the top of the hour because we had a lot of news to get through, obviously. We're still facing rain. But you know what? All the snow is going away. So there's a mixture of good news and bad news. Starting in northern lower Michigan, cloudy skies, partial clearing, a high of 29. Tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 37. Moving into your weekend, light snow on Friday, cloudy skies and a high of 39. So no doubt the snow won't stay around for very long. For your weekend on Saturday, looks like cloudy in the morning, then on and off rain, and a high of 42. Heading over to western Michigan, let's see what's in store for the folks listening on Holy Family Radio. Cloudy, early with peaks of sunshine, and temps nearly steady in the low to mid-30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, goes up again a little bit, a high of 39. Moving into the weekend, rain on Friday, and a high of 40. And on Saturday, cloudy, occasional rain, and above 40 again, with a high of 42. If you're in the Jackson-Lansing area, let's see what's up for you there. Snow this morning, then a high of 38, so that will melt quickly. Tomorrow, overcast skies, a high near 40, and on Friday, cloudy, light rain, 44. Moving into the weekend again, cloudy skies on Saturday, a high near 40, so not bad. All right, let's go to the Thumb area, Saginaw, Bay City, and Flint. Rain and snow this morning. You're going to have a high in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, cloudy, 38, and on Friday, cloudy with rain and a high of 42. Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, and Washtenaw counties today, rain ending, a high of 43, so still well above the norm. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high of 37. More rain, but light expected on Friday, then cloudy and a high of 44. In the weekend, at least for the start of it, on Saturday, showers, steady rain, and a high around 40 degrees. Last but not least, let's see what's going on near Toledo in the Monroe area. Rain ending this morning, a high of 42. Tomorrow, cloudy, high of 37. On Friday, rain ending, high of 46. Wow, you guys are going to be a little bit warmer than us, pushing 50 there. And then on Saturday, cloudy and a high of 40 on and off rain. So, again, looks like the rain is going to be with us for a couple of days. And Saturday night, they're saying for everybody, we could get some possible thunderstorms. So just be careful out there on the roads, because in coming home from work yesterday, running some errands, I saw so many people on the side of the road. People are flying in this weather, and it's pouring, and you can't see the potholes and the cracks in the road when there's rain, and it's still slippery, and they're wondering why they're getting into accidents. I must have seen east and westbound 696 yesterday, a mess. Probably at least a half a dozen cars pulled off to the side, along with some accidents in terms of problems. So drive slowly and keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle all the time and your eyes on the road and not on the cell phone, okay? Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back on this Wednesday morning, February 21st, 2018, a beautiful event coming up in our Chaldean community this weekend. All are welcome to adore the Lord and take part in praise and worship. Stay tuned.
Young People's Ballet Theater will present its 30th annual ballet, Little Orphan Annie, March 1st through the 4th at the University of Michigan Flint Theater. The nonprofit Young People's Ballet Theater was created for the purpose of providing an opportunity for serious students of Flint and the surrounding areas to listen and perform classical story ballets. Purchase tickets at tututix.com/YPBT. That's tututix.com/YPBT.
From Ash Wednesday through Palm Sunday, you're invited to join other Christians for 40 Days for Life, a groundbreaking coordinated international mobilization for an end to abortion. Since 40 Days for Life began in Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County has experienced a 25% drop in abortions. Join them Saturday, March 3rd at 10 a.m. for Mass and Eucharistic Adoration at St. Francis of Assisi and a rosary procession to Planned Parenthood. For specifics, go to 40daysforlife.com/Ann Arbor.
Have you heard about human trafficking but don't know how to help? Come to the Fashion for Freedom Fashion Show and Dinner at Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Plymouth. Human trafficking survivors will model fair trade clothing and share their personal stories. Fashion yourself to help fight human trafficking. Monday, March 5th at 6:30. Register at fashionfreedom.eventbrite.com. That's fashionfreedom.eventbrite.com. Sponsored by Pearls of Great Price Coalition.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Catherine Zeltner, There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Wednesday, your Lent is going well. 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. I'm always trying to help you stay connected to the church and also to find ways to go beyond Sunday. And on the phone with me is Patrice Bona, and she's the executive director of ECRC, which is an amazing evangelization organization begun in the Chaldean community, but they reach out to so many others. Patrice, good to talk to you again.
You too, Teresa. Thanks for having me on this morning.
We have a beautiful event this weekend, and I know it's primarily for young people, but I would imagine others will be welcome. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so every year for the last few years, we've done sort of day retreats for Lent and for Advent. We actually had Sister Ann Shields with us for our Advent retreat in December. And so this year, instead of bringing, you know, a speaker and just doing a normal presentation, we wanted to do something different. So the group is called the Vigil Project, and they're a collaboration of artists and musicians and speakers from, they're mostly from the South, Louisiana, and they're coming in and they're going to have speaking and live praise and worship music at St. Thomas Church in West Bloomfield. So we're really excited to bring them out for that.
Why is this so important to provide something like this, do you think, Patrice?
I think during Lent especially, and throughout the year, but especially during Lent, people are really hungry for time to grow deeper in prayer, for those opportunities to hear different speakers, to be challenged in their faith. You know, they're fasting and they're giving alms, but just to be really challenged in prayer, I think it's really important to give people that opportunity during Lent.
Give us a rundown of the event on Saturday night, because you have the beautiful flyers, Ignite the Spirit, a Lenten Night of Worship featuring the Vigil Project, Eucharistic Adoration, live music, and dynamic speakers. Starts at 6:30 right after the 5 o'clock Mass at St. Thomas, right?
Yes, exactly. So we do every month have our own praise and worship band called Ignite the Spirit, and they travel around to different churches in the Chaldean Diocese. They're even performing at Father Solanus Casey Center in April. So they've been very successful. They bring anywhere from 300 to 500 people every month for their performances. And their nights are really beautiful, where it's just, you know, adoration and praise and worship music with some short meditation. So this is sort of the same thing, but we're adding in that meditative talk, I think, at the beginning. So it'll be someone to just speak to you and challenge you during your Lent. And then after that, they'll be performing for over an hour of music. So the whole event should be about 2 hours. But if you wanted to make a whole evening of it, you know, come out for Mass at 5 and then plan to stay after. The event will start at 6:30 and should be done in a couple hours. So,
you have had such growth, phenomenal growth in your community and in the level of knowledge and understanding. What do you think is happening, and what do you think we can learn from each other in the Catholic Church from your experience?
I mean, we always talk about that, about, you know, what's been going on in the church in the last, you know, couple, maybe like 15 or 20 years, and I really think it's the Holy Spirit, Teresa. I think once we started adding in adoration, more intentional prayer, and really calling on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, especially through this new program, Ignite the Spirit, we're really inspiring the young people to be more intentional about their faith. You know, they're coming out on, it's usually on a Friday night, so I don't know how many young people you know that come to church on 7 o'clock on a Friday night, but
right,
we are packing the churches, and they're coming out, and they're praising the Lord, and they're, you know, adoring, and they're going to confession, and they're just being inspired to go out and live, God willing, a more faith-filled life. So,
how long has ECRC been around?
Yeah. We've been around for 17 years. We started in 2001.
Wow.
So it was our 17th year. I know. Crazy how much it's grown since then. It was one measly, you know, one little theology class in the basement of St. Thomas, and now we have 9 retreats, and we still have a theology class, a Bible study. We have Ignite the Spirit and a ton of other things going on. We do Awake My Soul that's coming this fall. So
Yeah, and you guys are big supporters of us, and we so appreciate it. We love it when the ladies from ECRC come out to our membership drives. It's like the best day of the week because you're so fired up and you're so considerate of us. Let's talk in terms of, for those who don't know what ECRC is, explain it and how it began.
So it began, like I said, in 2001. It was really a way to re-evangelize. That's what the R in ECRC stands for, re-evangelization, a really long word for, you know, trying to re-inspire those that are already baptized, because Chaldeans were culturally Catholic, just like you Italians are usually.
Right. Oh, Catholic. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, of course you're baptized in the church. Of course you get married in the church. These things are not questions, but our people weren't catechized. They weren't understanding really who Jesus was and having that an intimate relationship with him. So ECRC was founded to sort of try to amend that, to try to bring people into that encounter. And we do that through, like I was saying, through our retreats and our classes and lots of other things that we do. So that's kind of what we do. And we do things because we are a lay ministry and we're not based in one parish, we're diocesan. So we do things at all the different churches. We work with the priests and with the people to bring them different programs whenever there's a need.
And I want to direct people to the website as well. It's ecrc.us, www.ecrcus. It's a beautiful website, and it has this beautiful picture of St. Pope John Paul II. And you've got a little welcome video on there. How much of the influence was from, of course, your now bishop, Bishop Francis?
Well, Bishop Francis was actually one of the founders. So there was, you know, two people, Niran and Tutum. They were seeking more knowledge in their faith at the time, and they started meeting with him. He brought them all together, and the three of them started what's now ECRC. And under, at the time, Bishop Ibrahim, he really wanted it to be something that was diocesan. And so he blessed it. We eventually got our own building in 2006, and he wanted to encourage us to continue the work and not just be this church group that kind of like came and went. He wanted us to be sustainable for the long term. So Bishop Francis is still in our weekly meetings, and we run all big projects and big things by him, and always try to get the blessing of the diocese in anything that we do.
Of course, yeah. Now, in terms of the actual involvement, he still does a Bible study. I'm looking at your Bible study, Tuesday the 27th, Bible study with Bishop Francis.
Yeah, when he's in town. This week our clergy is actually on retreat, so he wasn't there last night. But typically, yeah, Tuesday night, Bible study at ECRC, Bishop Francis. And he loved it. Someone, I think, one time told him, hey, Bishop, you know, I can take over that Bible study for you. And he's like, no, I want to continue to open up the scripture, to teach
right.
it, and to keep myself, you know, knowledgeable, which I think is beautiful, and that humility.
Yeah, and also to be there with his people, I mean, right there on the ground floor, which is something that I know he does so well. In terms of what you saw in the Chaldean community, did you have, because we saw this in the Italian-American community, I think many communities, strong ethnic origin, a lot of our people in the Italian-American community were pulled away from the church. As a matter of fact, I remember hearing about 10 years ago about a former Catholic who was over in Italy, Italian-American, trying to, quote-unquote, convert Italians, and that just, ugh. I mean, I'm glad that he has a heart for Christ and he wants to introduce, obviously, right. Jesus to people, but the fact that, you know, the Catholic Church, its home is Italy and so many saints and the beauty of the faith, it's, wow. And that really sparked a fire in me as well. And one of my dreams is actually to work with Italians in particular to reconnect with the church. So did you see a lot of young people, Patrice, and others leaving?
Yes, and that is one of the big reasons that, you know, one of the founders back in 2001, he had people approaching him and saying, hey, come to our church and come here, and this is, you know, better than this. And they would just kind of put down the Chaldean Catholic Church, and try to encourage him to leave. And then in the beginning of ECRC, a lot of the time and energy from Bishop and from others was spent on apologetics and spent on
right.
big debates, and because there were a lot of people leaving. And I think it is a problem that we don't maybe talk about as much, but I still think it's very prevalent. And one thing a lot of people, I think even in our own community, don't know is it's very prevalent in the Arabic-speaking community. So a lot of Arabic-speaking Chaldeans have left the Chaldean church and are going to evangelical and Baptist churches too. So, and I think that's just a lack of catechesis. They sometimes don't even know there's a difference.
Yeah.
And these people are coming to them and saying, hey, we have Jesus. We'll pick you up. I'm the church, and they're like, okay, and they don't even realize that it's not Catholic.
Well, I think it's a wake-up call for us, though, and I think it forced us, I think a Romans 8:28 situation, it forced us to really look, okay, how are we, just like with Archbishop Vigneron talking about, unleash the gospel. For too long, it was a maintenance situation, right? And just making you can, sure yep. you can keep the church, you know, the church doors open. And we have to help people realize that, yes, we have Jesus, and we have Jesus so powerfully in the Eucharist, the source and summit of the faith, and the body, blood, soul, and divinity. And a lot of people, as you said, just didn't know, or they just didn't realize. And if you look at the surveys, that's changing, thanks be to God, in part, I think, because of all the great catechesis that we've seen over the years and with groups like yours and also, of course, Catholic media. But people are finally realizing what they have in the sacraments where they didn't for a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, give us a reminder again about the Vigil Project on Saturday, February 24th, before we wrap up, Patrice.
Yeah, so this coming Saturday, February 24th, you can come for Mass at 5. The program starts at 6:30, should last a couple hours. We have dynamic speakers, live praise and worship music. We will have adoration and confession as well. I mean, their music is amazing. If you want to look it up on YouTube, called The Vigil Project, you can get their Lent playlist. And it's a mix of, like, cover songs, stuff that you might have heard, and then their original stuff. So it's really, really talented group. We're really excited to have them out. So,
well, appreciate you joining us this morning. Yeah, that's great. And let me give the website again if you'd like more information. It's all there on the homepage. The website is ECRCUS, standing for, of course, Eastern Catholic Reevangelization Center. Learn, live, defend, teach, and evangelize the Catholic faith. That's exactly what they're doing. And again, we're talking more specifically about this weekend's big event, which is coming up on Saturday at St. Thomas, and Ignite the Spirit, and the special guest is the Praise and Worship Group, of course, as Patrice said, the Vigil Project, and all the details are right there on the homepage of the website, ecrc.us, and all are welcome. You're considered a part of the Chaldean community, because the Chaldean community is just so welcoming and loving, and St. Thomas is located on Maple Road in West Bloomfield. Thanks, Patrice.
Thank you, Teresa. God bless.
All right. God bless. Good to talk to you. We'll be right back. Another great event coming up in early March, and this is a stand-up against human trafficking. It's a great way to make a statement. Mary Lockwood joining us about a fashion show, a very unique fashion show that supports a very important cause, all related to the dignity of the human person. It's taking place at Our Lady of Good Counsel. And she'll be here to explain up next. Stay tuned.
Getting married the second time around? For expert guidance on helping your new relationship get stronger over time, Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan offers a one-day encore remarriage workshop. The next date is Saturday, February 24th at their Royal Oak office. Additional dates are offered later this year. To RSVP, call 855-88-CCSEM. Press 0 and ask for Heather. Or go to ccsem.org. That's ccsem.org.
I'd like to recommend my dentist, Dr. Maddie, and his practice, Advanced Dentistry. When I needed a new dentist, I remembered I'd been hearing about him for years on Ave Maria Radio. I had recommendations from friends, but decided if Dr. Maddie supports Catholic radio, he must share my Catholic values, and I wanted to support him. Dr. Maddie's degree is from Tufts University. Dr. Maddie really has a state-of-the-art, full-service dental practice, and I know he specializes in dental implants. I'm very happy with his caring, patient, professional service, and also the results of my Invisalign braces, which he provided. Dr. Maddie works with me to keep my costs low rather than have to carry dental insurance. Try Advanced Dentistry. I know you'll like Dr. Maddie very much. That's why I offered this, my personal testimony.
Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
When we read Scripture, we may think of it as a place of information and history, and not as an instrument of God to help us transform our lives. But the letter to the Hebrews describes God's Word as living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This teaches that God's Word is not passive, but it's active, living, and involved in our lives and in our hearts. This should give us courage and hope, because sometimes our lives and hearts have wounds, bad habits, or fears. God's Word can help us to break those habits, heal our wounds, and give us the weapons we need to fight in our battle for salvation, and thus overcome our fears. If you want to learn more about the power of God's Word in your life, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or on our website, cbsmich.org.
On the next Creston in the Afternoon.
What did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? What was finished, and how does it relate to the Eucharist, the Passover meal? The clue is in the mysterious fourth cup that culminates the Jewish Passover meal. Dr. Scott Hahn joins us with more. Also, Peter Kreft joins us about dialoguing with the world's great religions.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back for Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEL in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Hope you're having a great day. Be careful out there. The roads are, well, a mess. All the rain wiping out all the snow has revealed all the many bumps and bruises and potholes and so many accidents and fender benders and all kinds of flooding yesterday. So just keep that in mind if you're heading out to work or have any traveling to do this morning. 877-573-7825. One event we want you to get on your calendar is taking place at Our Lady of Good Counsel in early March. And we've been hearing so much discussion. I just had two stories about it in the news about the issue of sexual harassment. All of this is tied together to the objectification of women, obviously, which comes up when we discuss the huge problem, the international epidemic of sexual trafficking. And Mary Lockwood, of course, has done a great deal of work in the pro-life movement, knows just how closely this is tied to the life teachings in the church. And that's why she's decided to really get involved in this issue. And OLGC, Father John Ricardo, really on board for this, obviously, as well. Mary, this is probably one of the most unique fashion shows we've ever had in the Archdiocese. Tell us about it.
Well, the name of it is called Fashion for Freedom, and it is Clothes with a Conscience. We're going to have a wonderful fashion show on Monday, March 5th. From 6:30 to 9, we're going to have dinner and drinks. Cash bar will be available. And it's unique because it's going to be an event to celebrate the beauty of the survivors and their freedom. We all know the horrific background of human trafficking and sexual trafficking, but this is to celebrate their freedom, to show people that there is a choice, that people really do get out of this slavery. And that they do, the survivors do get on a path to a road for freedom. And we're going to have some wonderful items to showcase and to buy, so bring your checkbook. It's very exciting. And many of the boutique items will be made by survivors. They're all made fair trade, so no slavery, no labor trafficking was used to make these clothes. Most all of the clothes are made in the U.S., some are even available if you want to buy them on Amazon, but please come and enjoy this evening. Some of the sponsors that are going to be showcased here are JJ Boutique, More International. I'm sure a lot of people know about that. Sudara, and then there's a great store out of Howell called Mend, M-E-N-D, on the move. And many of her clothes will be fashioned that evening. So it's a very unique. We are doing this in coordination with Pearls of Great Price Coalition, which is a Christian coalition to fight human trafficking. So we're very excited about this. It's unique because it is going to be inspirational for all of us to see that there are survivors, that they do get out of trafficking, and that we need to celebrate that. So we're going to have some survivor stories which will be shared with the audience, if you will. So we're very excited about it. We're going to have jewelry. We're going to have accessories, scarves, clothes. We're going to have some of our own people modeling the clothes. So Sanctum House is going to be there, which I'm sure some people have heard about that. They're doing some great work in the field of human trafficking. So it's an evil that is in your backyard that people don't realize is in their backyard. They think that's something that happens, you know, overseas. It isn't. It's happening right in your neighborhood.
All right. How did you first find out about the trafficking issue, and how did you first get so interested in it, Mary?
Well, it's kind of interesting. One of our one of my parishioners said, you know, we need to get, this is a life issue. And I thought, is it really? You know, that's something that happens somewhere else, not in Plymouth. So the more I read and the more I got involved with Pearls of Great Price Coalition, which is a great organization out of Plymouth. It's a Christian group. And it was an eye-opener. And then I went to an international conference in Detroit. That was an eye-opener. The FBI were there telling their stories, and it was like, wow, this is definitely a life issue. So we brought it under the umbrella of our ministry at Our Lady of Good Counsel, and it just snowballed. We just got very involved. Many of our parishioners are very involved in helping fight this human trafficking. So it's not something that's easy to talk about. It's not something easy to admit that it's in your backyard, but believe me, it is. It's an eye-opener. It really is.
Now, I remember hearing the story, and I'm trying to remember if it was you or maybe I actually interviewed the author of the book or both, but there was a woman right here from our area who was trafficked, and she would be used at night, and they'd make her go out at night, and then she would go back and crawl in through her window in her home, and she did that because they threatened her and her family and said, well, threatened her and said that they would kill her family if she told anybody.
Mm-hmm. And this was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
In Birmingham. And, it's everywhere. And there's always a threat. Well, it's big money. It's like abortion. It's big money. There really is a lot of money in it. And they're so young. And it's not just women. It is men on a much smaller percentage. But it's everywhere. And the slave trafficking, the labor trafficking, there's a lot to this. So we're excited to celebrate the fact that people do get out of this. They really do. And they do live a life of freedom. And we're going to have speakers there who will educate the audience on human trafficking. But we'll also see that, as I said, that survivors do find their road to freedom, which is very inspirational. Very. So we're excited.
And Mayor, let's take a quick break. And then we come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the details in terms of registration and the cost and where this is actually going to be within OLGC, because it's a big complex there.
Okay.
Let's open up the phone lines if you have a question for Mary Lockwood, working on this wonderful event coming up in early March. And it is a fashion show informational night, raising awareness, of course, on the very important issue of sex trafficking. And this is something, I think, all of what we're seeing right now with these discussions on sexual harassment, the objectification of women, what's happening in our culture. I just read two stories in the news about another problem with harassment with a basketball team, and also a new survey came out where 94% of women in Hollywood say they've been harassed and even pressured to do something sexually that they were against. 94%, which is huge. And it's all tied together. When we forget about the dignity of the human person, everything starts to implode. 877-573-7825, chatting with Mary Lockwood. And this is coming up early March, March 5th of the day. We'll have the details and where you can find the information to register when we come back. Stay tuned.
I'd like to recommend my dentist, Dr. Maddie, and his practice, Advanced Dentistry. When I needed a new dentist, I remembered I'd been hearing about him for years on Ave Maria Radio. I had recommendations from friends, but decided if Dr. Maddie supports Catholic radio, he must share my Catholic values, and I wanted to support him. Dr. Maddie's degree is from Tufts University. Dr. Maddie really has a state-of-the-art, full-service dental practice, and I know he specializes in dental implants. I'm very happy with his caring, patient, professional service, and also the results of my Invisalign braces, which he provided. Dr. Maddie works with me to keep my costs low rather than have to carry dental insurance.
Try Advanced Dentistry. I know you'll like Dr. Maddie very much. That's why I offered this, my personal testimony.
Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
When you're looking for care for a loved one and you want them to remain independent and living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. Visiting Angels franchises provide the compassionate, professional caregivers needed to deliver the best home care available. You may select your caregiver before service begins. Services include bathing, dressing, errands, light housekeeping, meal preparation, and more, up to 24 hours each day. With over 500 franchised offices nationwide, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities and caregiving for Visiting Angels are available. You'll receive the support needed to fulfill your goal of achieving a caring career. Franchise opportunities are also available. Call today at 877-374-LIVE or visit us online at visitingangels.com. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Welcome back. It is a Wednesday, February 21st, coming up at our National Hour. Dr. John Wood's going to help us to keep the light of faith and to spread it around. He's got a new book on that, and we're also going to be checking in with Joan Lewis. The Holy Father is on his Lenten retreat, and we'll share what he's hearing about. There's a beautiful interview this morning and report on the Vatican Radio website all about the beauty of women in the life of Christ and what women bring to ministry, which ties into what we're talking about this morning, that when we fail to recognize the dignity of men and women, their beauty, their uniqueness, the complementarity of male and female, everything starts to implode. And we see that over and over and over again. I was just sharing with Mary during the break. Mary Lockwood is our guest from Our Lady of Good Counsel about these two new stories that just surfaced. The NBA's Dallas Mavericks saying they're investigating sexual misconduct claims detailed in a Sports Illustrated story published last night, the magazine outlining a workplace culture that one former employee describes as a real-life animal house. And then a new survey out in USA Today, just today, 94, Mary, this is 94%. Who gets 94% in any survey, good or bad, say they've experienced sexual harassment in some form or another? These are women in Hollywood. And again, this all ties in. You have to connect the dots. You pull back and you say, okay, what's going on in our world? We disrespect the gift of human sexuality, as Pope Paul VI outlined in Humana Vitae, which is marking its 50th anniversary. And I think all of this, God's timing, is always perfect. There are no coincidences. And then you see what happens with the life issues. You see what happens with the sexual objectification since the pill. You see all of this imploding. And this really, I think, is the underlying message of it all, the respect for human life. Correct?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it all ties in, as you said, Teresa, it really does. And when we disrespect life, we just use people as objects. Yeah.
All right. So details on the fashion show, March 5th at OLGC. What time, where, and where are the tickets can be found?
It's in our social hall, and it's from 6:30 to 9. You'll have the chance to have an elegant dinner and drinks and have a chance to meet other people who are involved in this, and perhaps God is calling you to get involved. So it is March 5th, 6:30 to 9. If you'd like to buy tickets, you can go to fashionfreedom.eventbrite.com. And if you have any questions about the event, about who's going to be there as far as vendors, you can feel free to email Leanne Decker, who is very involved in this, and her email is leannedecker@msn.com. But how to register, you can go on our website, Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish.net, and you can buy your ticket right there, or you can go into Eventbrite, and it's Fashion Freedom. Ticket prices are $35, and this is in coordination with a Christian Alliance, which is called Pearls of Great Price Coalition. And it's, you won't be disappointed in what you hear and what you are educated in. And besides, you'll have a great time buying and looking at some wonderful jewelry and accessories. And it's just going to be a great evening. So we're very excited. experience.
How are the ticket sales going so far?
Great. We have well over 100 coming, and that is, you know, we're all last minute, so we know it's going to be a last-minute rush. So I would advise that you get your tickets as soon as you can. Again, it's called Fashion for Freedom. And
now, in terms of...
Go ahead, Mary. I was just going to say, Our Lady of Good Counsel, in case anyone's listening, doesn't know where that we are. We're in Plymouth, Michigan.
How many can you fit down in the social hall there?
Oh, we can fit probably well over 300.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a pretty big social hall. So come, enjoy an evening, have dinner. And where can you go for a fashion show, dinner, and drinks for
$35?
$35. It's a great event.
Yeah, and I also think most importantly, not only to raise money, but I think even more importantly and most importantly, Mary, is awareness, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And to know that, and to be aware that some of your items that you're buying on an everyday basis is not fair trade, which means labor trafficking is being used to make those items. Most things that are made in the U.S., you can be pretty well assured that it's not, trafficking is not being used to make it or sell it. So everything we will feature is fair trade, which is slave-free, including human trafficking, survivor stories. It's just going to be a great awareness evening. And it is an eye-opener because we think it's something that doesn't happen in our backyard, but it does. It does. Come and find out.
Well, I'm glad you're doing this. I really appreciate all of these efforts. Will there be anything after this to do more awareness on the human trafficking issue? Do you know what the next effort is, or are you concentrating on this right now?
We're concentrating on this right now. We have events going on all the time. We have a monthly meeting with Pros of Great Price, and if anybody is interested in getting involved, you'll learn more about it that evening, and you'll learn more about what's going on in the future. So it's a fight that it continues.
Yeah, and just fighting so many different battles. But again, this gets down to the bottom line, which is the dignity of the human person. So $35 gets you dinner, gets you in the door, and you get to hear the speakers, see the fashion show. And I'm assuming there's going to be plenty of time for shopping.
Absolutely, absolutely. It got expensive the last time I went to one of these fashion shows because their items are beautiful. They really are. So they're very unique. You won't find them anywhere else because they're made. Many of the items are made by survivors, and to help them stay out of human trafficking. And you know, many times women don't have a choice. It's their way of life. So if we can help them stay out of human trafficking, we will. And it's through these kinds of events that we can do that. So we're going to celebrate the survivors and the path to freedom that they have chosen. So come and enjoy an evening with us. We would love to see you.
All right, Mary, thanks so much. Again, for more information, you can go to the OLGC Parish website, which is olgcparish.net. Coming up on March 5th, which is a Monday night, and it's $35. Monday night, right? Yeah, that's a Monday night.
That's right.
Okay, cost is $35, includes your dinner, includes your entrance fee, and a great opportunity to learn more about a very important topic. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it. God bless your work in this area.
Thank you, Teresa. God bless you, too.
Coming up at the National Hour, as I mentioned, Joan Lewis joining us live from Rome, as well as John Wood in his new book on keeping that flame and light of faith alive. Also, breaking news, a sad story, and our prayers go to the family of Billy Graham, evangelist, pastor, and counselor to the president, has passed away at the age of 99. What an amazing witness. Billy Graham, charismatic North Carolina pastor, who took his evangelizing crusades around the country and the globe, passed away this morning, according to officials of his organization. He was 99 years old, serving as a counselor or minister to a dozen U.S. presidents, and he preached to an estimated 200 million people in 185 countries around the world during his life, his message reaching millions more as he maintained a near-constant presence on radio, TV, and the Internet. You could see a story on NBC as well as Fox News. A longtime evangelist appeared on Gallup's list of most admired men and women 60 times since 1955. Every year, the research company asked the question. America's pastor came from modest means and grew up on a dairy farm in Charlotte, North Carolina. He found his spiritual path at 16, charmed by the traveling minister and temperance movement leader, Mordecai Ham. Graham later moved to Florida and was ordained there in 1939, meeting his future wife, Ruth, while they attended Wheaton College, marrying in 1943. Together, they would raise five children, and she would become a trusted advisor. She died in 2007. Graham, by the way, was known for his sense of humor and for maintaining a nonpartisan Christian view, which earned him some criticism, but his dedication to ministry and unity is long evident and best remembered in his refusal to pay heed to segregation policies forcing churches to integrate for his services. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. counted Graham as a close friend, once remarking, had it not been for the ministry of my good friend Dr. Billy Graham, my work in the civil rights movement would not have been as successful as it has been. His son, Franklin, of course, taking over the ministries while Graham returned to a quiet life in North Carolina, not far from the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. He said, my home is in heaven. Graham habitually said, I'm just traveling through this world. And what a great pilgrim leader he was, Billy Graham. And we may have disagreed with him on some things in terms of some theological points and doctrine, but there's no doubt of the huge impact this wonderful brother in the Lord has made in terms of the world and speaking the truth in love to so many people around the globe. We'll talk more on that and see if there's anything else in the news that we can grab for you to give you an update on that big story. Billy Graham, evangelist, pastor, and counselor to the president's passing away at the age of 99, according to sources close to the Billy Graham organization. Just out this morning, breaking at 8:46 a.m. Coming up in the National Hour again, we're going to be talking about helping you every day, but especially during Lent, in making sure that you are keeping your faith alive and helping others do the same. Because the light, as John Wood says, is entrusted to all of us. The light entrusted to you, keeping the flame of faith alive. The book is just out from our friends at Ignatius Press. And also Joan Lewis. Speaking of light, some new lighting making a big difference at the Vatican. And there will also be some special lighting this weekend at the Colosseum being lit up in red, honoring persecuted Christians around the globe. All of that plus more. It's a Wednesday, and we hope you stay tuned. Wednesday, February 21st. You're listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. We'll be right back.